Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast, where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by SoapEquipment.com. If you make cosmetics and soaps, you need equipment to grow. Standing at a small mixer is great when you first start out, but to grow, you need some help. You can count on the equipment and expertise you can get from Ron Jonas and his team. Learn more at SoapEquipment.com. Well, my guest today has devoted her entire career to helping companies create and execute winning marketing strategies. Unlike many people calling themselves social media experts, she focuses on solid marketing principles and then adds social media tools to make them even better. She's Dr. Sherry Madia, co-author of Social Media Survivor Guide, Everything You Need to Know to Grow Your Business Exponentially with Social Media. Dr. Madia has worked with clients like Baltimore Magazine, the Miami Herald, Business Wire, and Sendent Corporation. She is currently Director of Communications, External Affairs at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. As such, she is both a teacher and a practitioner, kind of like me. Dr. Madia is an expert in online facilitation in higher education and professional development, and she serves as associate adjunct professor at Drexel University, and she's also a lecturer at the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania. Welcome to Indie, Dr. Madia.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, you know, I wanted to make sure that I shared with our listeners not just that you were an author, not that just you had written a book and you're knowledgeable about social media, but that you also teach people this on a regular basis. So can you start us off, Dr. Madia, by sharing a little bit about how you became interested in this particular area and how it has been added to an already existing successful career?
Sure. You know, it's really an outgrowth of everything that we've seen in terms of how we're communicating en masse. And the trick is that we're now not communicating en masse. It's a very different business model. We're now able to communicate to very targeted segments and, in fact, the very people that we want to reach from a business perspective. So as a communications professional and professor, it's a thrilling time because there's so much, particularly for indie business owners, there has never been a better time to be in business in terms of the things that you can do from research to marketing to really tuning into where are your customers and how can you reach them in really some very intimate ways that we haven't experienced before. So it's a very exciting time.
I love that you use words like intimate and words like targeted, because so many people, particularly indies, Dr. Madia, think that they kind of have to have a product that will span the masses and be able to reach everyone in order to be successful. Share a little bit, you know, because you have like marketing expertise that precedes the social media expertise. Share a little bit about why it's so important not to adapt that mindset.
Yeah, you know, social media gives us the ability to really take our messages and fine-tune and reshape and translate them out for the exact audiences that we want to reach. And while it's tempting to want to put our arms around the world, it's too big. It's too much. And this is why we see companies, and particularly small, you know, indie businesses, fail time and again because they see that big number. And it's not – social media is not necessarily about the big numbers. It's about the right numbers. So this gives us an opportunity to really shed a lot of the marketing and communicating and public relations efforts that we all know weren't working so well in the first place. So it's a new day and a new way, and every business should at least be trying it out. Start by listening and get a sense of what is this space all about, because if you think you're going to just simply let it pass you by, it will pass you by, and so will the entire market. So you want to find a way to engage.
And one of the things your book says, following up on that, is really that you say you have three options when it comes to taking a look at social media and adding it to your repertoire. What are those three options, and tell us what you mean by them?
Sure. Well, we see companies really reacting in three distinct ways. They're either ignoring it, they're rejecting it, oh, it doesn't work, or they're embracing it fully. In fact, they're charging at it. And I'll add a fourth to that, too. A lot of companies are simply immobilized by it. So they know that it's something they should check out, but they are not quite sure where to start because it can feel overwhelming. But the point is, if you think you're going to ignore it, people are talking about your brand anyway. Your competitors are out there anyway. And so if you think that you want to avoid the risk is already there. It's there with your lack of presence. Some people reject it because they haven't stopped to plan. They try, they put up a Facebook page, they tweet a few times, nothing happened, and they walk away calling it a failed experiment. It takes time, like anything else, but it's a smarter use of our time, which is what's so attractive. And again, those who run at it because they are so supercharged and they do see the value need to stop and have a plan. It's with the lack of planning that really causes companies to find themselves in unexpected situations in that space.
Great point. And let's even pull back from that because of your longstanding expertise even before social media in marketing and planning. So many indies sort of see social media as this free, great, jump on board, let's start communicating with people without that kind of a plan. So let's pull back a little bit from social media and let's tap your expertise about how a very, very small business, perhaps just with one employee, maybe two, maybe a few more, but not that many more, can sort of get in the right mindset so that when they add social media on, they've got a strong core to start with. Can you share some tips in that area?
For sure. You want to start with your objective, traditional stuff here. So start with what is my objective? Is it to create awareness? Is it to offer a discount? Is it to enhance sales? Is it to upsell? You know, what is the objective? And be very specific about that. And then first listen. That is, go into the space and determine, is there an existing social network out there? Do a simple search. On Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Twitter, do these groups already exist? And if they do, can I tap into them? What are they saying? Are they talking about my brand? What are their needs? What are their pains? How can I help? These are the first few questions that you'll want to really think through so that you can determine, aha, my objective is awareness, my target group is here on Facebook, and then we can start to shape out a plan from there. It's, you know, there is no good reason to just simply create a Facebook page because everybody else is out there. You know, we love social media. I think it's a fabulous tool, but what I don't like is gratuitous use of social media because it causes more harm than good. So you really want to stop to think through a plan and execute on that plan and give it time to grow.
It's funny that you mention that because when I talk with people, sometimes clients, and I say, well, do you have a Twitter page? And they say, yes. And I say, well, let's go take a look at it. And we go there and it's been empty. There's like cobwebs on it since their first couple of tweets because they didn't have a plan. So it's good that there are people like you out there available teaching this information at the university level, which is so wonderful, and also offering this book. So let's talk about what you talk about in your book, and here's a quote that I want to share with our listeners and get your comments on. It says, when the articles prove themselves to be valuable time and again, the sender establishes him or herself as a credible source and a value-added member of the group. And when I say articles in your quote, you're talking about content that people write at a blog or at their Facebook page. Can you share some of your thoughts and ideas on creating this kind of content that creates that credibility that you say makes people valuable? How does that come to a sale? How does that lead to sales?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's about the content strategy that you'll create, and this is part of the planning process. So it's not just about, I'm going to use social media. Well, what exactly are you going to, what strategic content seeds will you plant? So, for example, if your product or service lends itself to video for a video demonstration of the product or how you use a particular service, whatever it is, then you want to lean heavier on using video. or perhaps it's blogging, it's how-tos, or it's answering questions in someone else's network. You want to establish yourself as the tried and true, trusted advisor, person who's credible, the subject matter expert, because that creates distinction in the marketplace, and it also sends a message to clients and potential customers, hey, this is a credible source, and this person, this business, knows what it's talking about. And we like that. So it's about consistency as much as anything else. But first, you know, figuring out what sort of content do I need to create, and then can I sustain it? Because to your point, if you set up a Twitter page and tweet a few times and go, you've just created a brand negative. And that's the last thing we want to do, is to harm our brands.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that as well, because and I will share, you know, a confession here. When I first set up a Twitter page, there were a few days when it was empty and I was trying to figure out what to do, but I think to your point, it shouldn't last that long. We're all going to be sort of figuring it out at the beginning. But, you know, what's interesting, too, about what you just said that I want to explore is how important it is to, when I read your book, what came to my mind was the word snacking. We want our audience, we want our customers to be able to get regular snacks from us, information snacks, so to speak.
Right.
I wrote that in the corner of the book on one of the pages. I was like, she's talking about snacking and helping people snack on this kind of content.
That's right. It's no longer a 9-to-5 as long as the storefront is open kind of a scenario. It's now about providing content so that consumers can digest our information in a very time-shifted way. They can have it when they want it, how they want it, you know, in the flavor that they want it. So audio, you know, podcasts are great, video, blogs. And so it doesn't mean creating lots and lots and lots of different pieces of content. Sometimes it just means translating some really solid, valuable content into a number of different formats so that people can consume it the way they prefer.
And it's so wonderful that you're saying that, like meeting your customers where they are, not forcing, for example, everyone to come to your blog because that's the only place that you are, right?
Absolutely. You want to be super smart about where is the target group and where's all the traffic. So if, for example, you know there's a blog that has tremendous traffic, perhaps you'd like to offer to the person who owns the blog, could I be a guest blogger? And that might be your better target rather than starting your own content and asking people to step out of the pool that they're already comfortable swimming in and come over to your pool. Why don't you get into their pool? So there are a lot of very clever techniques that we can use to really optimize the space. We don't have a lot of time, so we have to use it smartly.
And Dr. Madia, doesn't this also point out the need to really be flexible and stay sort of on top of how things are going as we proceed? I'll give you an example. I've been blogging for many, many years before there was a Facebook. I had a blog. So I was used to sharing information at my blog, and then Facebook came along, and of course I devised a strategy to share there as well. And one of the first things I noticed was that my blog traffic went down because people were on Facebook commenting on the blog but not at the blog. And it dawned on me, you know, the people that I'm reaching are interested in what I'm saying, but they don't want to leave their friends to go find it out. They want to be where their friends are, and if they're already on Facebook, they want to talk about it there. Is that sort of a good example of what you're talking about?
That's a fabulous example. And so what social media does for indie business owners is it enables them to be iterative and nimble in the marketplace like never before, so that when we do start to spot trends such as this, we can immediately shift gears. So it used to be, in order to find out what the consumer liked or didn't, you know, we'd have a focus group and we'd hire someone to come and run the group and we'd hope people showed up and it would take forever. Now all of that has gone away and we can listen directly and we can get a sense directly of our buyers, our consumers, and what do they want. And the important part there is that once you hear them, act upon it. Do something about it. If they don't want to leave the Facebook space, then find a way to engage them in their space, in that Facebook space, or wherever it is that they want to be, because that's the goal, is to find where they are and start to talk with them. Now, this makes some companies a little bit nervous, because when you converse, you might not always hear positive things, and that's okay, but it's a very different mindset from what we're used to. We're used to controlling the message, being very institutional, but the risk, the rewards really do outweigh the risks, because it's tremendous being able to talk directly with them and then tweak things, modify our campaigns and so forth. Wow, that's exciting stuff.
It is so astounding what you can accomplish with your message as an indie. I want to read three sentences from your book that really resonated with me. I have them underlined in pink highlighter here. I want to share them with you and ask you to comment on. This is from page 28. We're talking about stories, the importance of stories. It says, "The business of storytelling centers on defining the story as information, any piece of information. Website publishers," which I'll add, I think every business owner needs to consider themselves today, "website publishers want to be seen as the go-to place to read a certain type of story, which can be content that they create themselves or content that they aggregate. Not only are the brochureware sites of old no longer effective, but people have come to expect free information that they can comment on, add to, and share, and then they will buy your product or return to your site if the experience was good."
That's right. And for some companies, they feel as though, oh, well, hang on. It used to be I could just make the sale and off I go. And this is a little bit different in the sense that now it's about building a foundation, and it's about expanding that relationship. What if, for example, it wasn't just about that one sale, but it was about a lifelong customer? It was about a longer-term relationship. And that is really at the core of everything social media. It's not a one-and-done. It's not a set-it-and-forget-it. It's a foundational set of tools that we can use as indie business owners to really not only start a conversation, but continue a dialogue to really grow and evolve our brands. That is tremendous value right there.
And I love that you say it's not one and done. It's not set it and forget it, like you can set your crock pot and go off and everything's done. Now, I love those analogies, and they rhyme, so we can remember them really well. There is kind of this idea, Dr. Madia, among business owners in general, that because social media tools are free or really close to free in terms of the money that you have to pay to use them, that, well, the return should be free as well, and it should work, and it's free, and let's just go and push this button and, sit back and wait and see what happens. And what you're saying is that's why it's so important to have a strategy, to have a plan, because if you do that, it may work maybe for a couple of days with your friends and family members, but you're eventually going to get lost in the noise, right? You're going to become background noise.
For sure. Yeah, this is about creating something that's sustainable. Now, particularly for the indie business owner, we know time is a precious commodity. And so this is not about, taking half the day to spend on social media. Not at all. It's about saying, okay, what can I do each day? Or what can I entrust one of my employees to do each day? 15 minutes a day or half an hour? What can I accomplish there? It's a more valuable interaction. If you can stick to an editorial schedule and be consistent, because then people become reliant upon that. They can't wait for the next post or update, and they start to engage because you're not a fly-by-night. You're reliable, and you're there day after day or whenever you set the expectation that you're going to be there. But there is expectation all around that it does take a brief amount of time to set up these networks, but it takes the same amount of time as traditional strategies to really gain a following, and not just a quick hit following, but a sustainable following, people that really say, I'm in, I like this brand, I support this brand. So it's not just about the sale. It's about all of those intangibles, the base of support that's there when you need it. And we see this in the airline industry. We see this in the cell phone company industry, right? They're always perceived as, you know, negative and institutional, and you can't get a hold of anyone. Well, they've humanized themselves via their Twitter stream, and it's an online record that anyone can publicly see of how they respond to consumers. So there's a great deal more in terms of value than just simply seeing the return in sales.
I love that you said that as well. You know, I was watching some television show not too long ago, and I'm noticing that a lot of large nationwide brands, rather than having a famous spokesperson be a part of their advertising, they have some of their employees to come on and say, here's what I do, here's how I can help you. You know, my name is Donna Maria, and I work at this company, and I have a kiosk in the shopping mall. And so they really are trying to humanize themselves so much more than I think they ever were, and social media feeds right into that, right?
It sure does, and it's also about the importance of peer-to-peer recommendation, because we know from the research it's far stronger than Brand X saying Brand X is great. When we hear our sister, our mother, our cousins, our friends tell us that Brand X is great, now we believe. So it's a very powerful mechanism that companies can start to tap into in Facebook and using Twitter, which, again, goes directly to a consumer's mobile phone. That's the appeal, is that we've got a very close engagement for people who opt in, say, I want to follow your brand. Suddenly, I have the chance to communicate, you know, via mobile phones. Wow, that's a much closer connection than we've ever been able to establish before.
Right, and your customers, you can always be hanging off of their arm because they do have a smartphone. Let me ask you this. For companies that, again, indie companies that are selling products, I know there's sort of this idea and notion that I hear people say that, well, if you sell services, it's so much easier to use social media to feed into your marketing plan than it is if you actually sell products. And so since many of our listeners sell health, beauty, and lifestyle products that are ordered online, we're talking soaps, cosmetics, and things of that nature, what are some of your tips for helping them just use these tools to empower themselves to communicate using some of the strategies that you've shared when they're really not trying to sell services, they're selling products?
Absolutely. It's tremendous. It's tremendous across the board, but I'll give you some examples. So if you already have an established client base and you've been using traditional marketing, direct mail, or however you're communicating out, you want to start to integrate what you're doing online. So it's not just about creating a Facebook page and putting a little icon on your corporate website. It's also about your offline strategy. So integrate what you're doing in the social media space within your more traditional marketing strategies and let people know so that they become aware. Some fabulous tips and techniques that companies can use would include things like a Twitter contest. Give them a reason to start following you. So maybe it's a buy one, get one. Maybe it's half off. Maybe it's a Facebook exclusive sale. These are the kinds of things that really attract people to social media. Give them value. And that value can be anything from voice their opinion or have a contest in which users have the opportunity to share their own stories, to share their own content, to vote on the story that they like best from a user base with a shared interest. So many wonderful ways to engage and, again, to find a way so that people will raise their hands to say, I see value there, and now I will subscribe. I didn't understand Twitter before, but I understand a $50 gift card. I'm in. So it's all about creating value.
And beyond the $50 gift card and all those incentives that, you know, a lot of larger companies, frankly, they have the budget to give things away all the time. But do you think indies have to balance that with something more since every time we go on we can't afford to give something away? Or do you have any tips for integrating content that doesn't directly result in a sale with those sorts of contests that you just mentioned that actually do directly lead to sales?
For sure, yeah. It's about giving your knowledge, giving your expertise. And part of this is back to what we talked about with being iterative. If I'm listening to my consumers and I hear them talking about a particular need, right, problem with pores or whatever it is, if I'm selling a skincare product, then I want to really tap into that problem and address it. Hey, did you know XYZ is great for that problem? Huh, now I'm valuable. So it can be giving away, you know, things that are intangible, knowledge, which is quote-unquote free. I mean, it takes your time, but it's not the cost of giving away product, and highly valuable to consumers.
And, you know, I've been thinking lately, too, that companies that do manufacture and sell products, it seems to me over time they have begun to have more of an advantage over companies that just sell knowledge or services. And let me explain what I mean and get your thoughts on this. If you're a consultant and you sell your knowledge, or maybe you sell ebooks or expertise in your particular area, your Facebook page, your blog, and everything else is necessarily going to be filled with that kind of stuff. And some of it you're giving away, things that you would otherwise be selling. But when you sell products, you're not giving any of your products away. You're not giving anything away that hits your profit margin directly. You're sharing expertise. You're not selling that. So you're giving things away that really aren't hurting you in order to generate sales for things that you actually are selling. Is that sort of a good way to think about what we're seeing here?
It is, yeah. And again, it's very case by case. The one thing that we've learned is that we're still learning. So when you think of the history of the world of social media, it's only about 6 years old, and we really haven't landed yet. So that when we have clients ask, you know, what's the best network I should be on, or what's that fail-safe social media strategy, there is none. And I think that that's always going to be in part the way it is. You know, we'll know that some things work better than others. We'll know how consumers prefer to engage, and all of that we can build in. But it's always going to come back to what is the objective and where is your target group? And that's what's really going to dictate the optimal strategy that you'll use.
And so interesting. We're learning as we go. We're sharing all this information with each other, and that's really what Indy is all about here at the podcast. And, you know, you're busy and you share information as well. Tell us, Dr. Madia, why do you think it's important for people to take time from their schedules to listen to shows that have guests like you, like the Indy Business Podcast?
Well, particular to communication and marketing and public relations, this is about feet on the street. This is about, you know, real people who do this. And, you know, hopefully I've been able to pass on the learnings, as your show does routinely, that these are tried and true tactics that work. And it's simply something that, you know, you have to go out and try, and it's so valuable to listen to. It's valuable to us to listen to our real small businesses and large corporations tell us how they're utilizing social media, and that helps to shape learnings that we're able to offer as well.
I'm talking with Dr. Sherry Madia, the co-author of the Social Media Survival Guide, Everything You Need to Know to Grow Your Business Exponentially with Social Media. This is a fantastic book. I highly recommend it. Dr. Madia, tell us where we can go online to learn more about you.
You can find me on Twitter, at Sherry Madia, SHERRIEMADIA.
Great. Well, we're certainly going to do that. I'm going to make sure that I continue to share information about you in this fantastic book. Thank you so much for joining today. It's been wonderful. I've learned so much. I just love the kind of interaction that we can have to get ideas, get the juices flowing about the ideas that we can use to promote our businesses and really just share our passions with the world, because for Indies, that's really where the business comes from. That's where the action is. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
My guest next week will be Representative Amy Hanlon, an elected official from the great state of New Jersey. Representative Hanlon is the author of Be Your Own Lobbyist, and she'll be on hand to share how you can give your small business big clout with state and local government. That's next week right here on Indie. I'll see you then. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.